This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
He set foot in America one fine October day. Sailing into Baltimore, well, everything's okay. He buttons on the jacket, shining like the brand new diamond. Listening in the sunlight, blistering my eyes. When you said that you loved me, I knew it wasn't true. I've 100 unread messages, but not a single.
Welcome to Wiggins America. Thank you for being here this weekend. I have a lot of thoughts that I've been ruminating on for now a week. As you may know, if you're paying very close attention, if you're not, that's okay. I took about 2 weeks, not quite 2 weeks off, on vacation. We went to Japan, and it was kind of a lifelong goal to be able to take that vacation. I get real freaked out when I go to a country that doesn't speak English. I mean, that's just the truth. Even as a second language, it's okay, but as a first language, it's preferred, which means that I probably am going to be limited to going to the UK and Canada, although you go to parts of Canada like I did with Quebec, and they don't really speak it. But I've always wanted to do bigger trips like that, but I'm always nervous about not being able to read signs or speak the language or, you know, use the trains there. But my good friend lives in Japan, and his wife is Japanese, and so he knows how to navigate the country as an American. She knows how to speak the language really well. It was the perfect situation. So we went. We had a great time, not just with them, but experiencing a culture that I would never, ever have experienced before. And once I got back here to the station, I think without exception, I don't know if Annie asked me this directly, but basically everybody here, Sue Thomas, Mark Reardon, Mark Cox, Kim St. Ange in the morning, you know, Brad, even actually Rachel on the DGS, she's been to Japan twice in the last like 4 or 5 months. So she really wanted to know what I liked. But everybody was asking me the same question. What's your big takeaway? And I love that question because they're asking like at the heart of what you experience as American. Obviously, I have very strong opinions about how a good society runs. It's what we talk about here, right? So what did you take away from being in a completely different society and one of which most of them have never been to and may never be, may never go to? And specifically with Mark Reardon, because everybody was asking me this on Friday when I was back just for a one day, but I was such a haze. I was so tired. We had just flown, you know, 15 hours or something crazy, probably longer than that if you include the layover. And I was way tired on Friday and out of it. So got through Friday, came back Monday, and still at this point, I think I've finally gotten back into a normal sleep schedule. But my big takeaway, and I'm getting ahead of Mark Reardon here because he said, oh, I'm going to call you a socialist now. So unless I missed him calling me a socialist on the air, I'm getting ahead of him by saying that Japan, as far as I can see, is the only country in the world where socialism actually is sustainable. I'll say it works there. Not that it's the preferred method of government, but that they get away with it there. And you're like, Ryan, you're supposed to be a conservative. You're against socialism. Yes, I am. But it's not just that we stand here and we rail against socialism because it's socialism or communism. We're not just like going down with the USSR because we just hate the other thing and we like the way that we're doing it. There are reasons behind all the things that we're talking about. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a very intellectual discussion. It would just be yelling. And I'm sure a lot of people think all we do is yell anyway, but whatever. We're having this discussion because the themes apply to any society. See, that's the thing, is that Japan is so rare, and I thought this even before I visited there, that all of the principles that we're talking about, we talk about what works and what doesn't work because we've seen it play out, whether it be here or elsewhere in the world, whether it be now or in history, and where we think it's going. Japan has bucked that trend. And I, if you heard me on Mark Cox's show last Friday, I said this, that they seem to buck trends. And that was, I couldn't quite like get my mind around what I was pointing at, but now I have. And that's the one, is that they pay huge income taxes. They pay high taxes on everything. They pay 50%, something like that, of their income goes to taxes. So it's higher than even here, unless you're in a way high tax bracket. And most societies fall under that. And let me explain why. So here's, from being there, here's what I can tell you. This is a highly, highly productive society, in spite of being socialist. And that is why most socialist nations fail, is that in every other culture, I am going to say, in every single other culture in the entire world, socialism fails because it sounds like a good idea. And then once you get into it, you realize that the people don't really have as much incentive to work or be productive. I watched, and I have a video of this, maybe I should just post it. I was in an alley one day, and it's very, very safe too, so that's a different discussion. But I was in an alleyway in Japan on just a random weekday, and a trash truck pulls up, and the trash man jumps out of his truck and just starts running down the alleyway. And I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. I'm watching this. He's wearing the uniform, so I know he's not some crazy guy. And he runs up and down, and he looks for trash in the receptacles where they're supposed to be. And my buddy was actually holding some trash, and he asked for it. And my buddy said, no, it's okay, we're taking it. Variety of reasons for that. But I watched this guy run away, and I actually pulled my phone out because I'm like, this dude is like mega trash man. he's running up and down the alleys, and I watch him run down the alley, run back to the truck. There was one other guy out there who had done the same thing, it looked like, in another alley, and threw a big bag of trash in the back. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. These people are they work hard, actually to a fault, to the point where they sometimes overwork themselves to death in Japan. But the reason it works is because they have social pressure that it doesn't exist really anywhere else, but they have incredible social pressure to be productive and work a job. And not just for prestige, although I'm sure that's there, but just because that is your civic duty. And there's a saying there that I learned while I was there, that the nail that sticks out gets hammered. Well, that means that you are meant to conform in Japanese society. Now, they have little things that, you know, they have the girls that wear the cartoon outfits and stuff like that. But generally speaking, what is asked of you, you are expected to comply. Now, that's good in some ways and bad in some ways. We're a very rebellious nation. That's very good in some ways. It's very bad in some ways. I like that we question authority like crazy. And that is very, very unique to America. There, they don't really question a lot of that stuff. They're very compliant. But one of the keys to that compliance is being productive and being very, very, very committed to your work. And that is the only reason that socialism works there. And it is the only reason that socialism fails most of the time, because you take away all that incentive to work, you take away making money, you take away all these things, and most people end up falling on the lazier side of things. And they go, yeah, you know what, though, I don't really have to do that much, because that's human nature. Because that social pressure doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, as far as I can see, except for there. And it is generational. It's been going on for a long, long, long time there. So it actually works. In some ways, it is a socialist paradise. It is probably the only nation that people can point to who are socialists and say, look, it works. It actually can work there. There are elements of socialism in some of probably Norwegian countries that people point to and say, look, it works there, but that's actually not true. They're just heavily regulated capitalist nations, which is like leaning towards socialism, but they're not quite there. I would say, actually, Japan may not even be fully, they're not communists, certainly, but they definitely have a lot of like social safety net, socialist stuff. And being at 50% income tax, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that they're in that category. So if you want to crucify me and say, oh, you're not really a true conservative. No, I am. I think what I'm saying is that this wouldn't work here. And any move we make toward that, and really almost any nation in the world makes toward socialism, they just become less productive, and they let the productive people kind of make it up for the less productive people. And it kind of collapses. In Japan, it doesn't, because there aren't any non-productive people. Or at least if there are, there are very, very few of them. Nobody's living off the dole there. Everybody produces. And that is the big difference, and that is the big takeaway, that they are different in that one way. But don't let it fool you into thinking that we all could do that. I'm going to stop there. We do have a full show. Because we're all back this week, you know, we do have old Roy coming in. He was in last week, but I feel like we're going to catch up a little bit more this week. I feel like we were just kind of getting through it because I was so tired last week. We also have a great guest coming up talking about a new book about our religious roots and how we now have secular roots, and the reason why that system is not working in America. It's all kind of related, isn't it? Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This is Wiggins America. Roy, I feel like it's been forever since we caught up, which is not true, because we've been talking every week.
Right.
But I have a question for you.
Okay.
Can you share a little bit about your life-threatening disease?
Oh, gosh. Which one?
I thought, no, there's a setup. I was setting you up. Because you always say, well, as you know, I have a life-threatening disease.
Potentially life-threatening.
Potentially life-threatening.
Sleep disorder.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's sleep apnea.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, yeah. Which is, I think is funny because it's not something you'd ever say is actually life-threatening. But it kind of is.
That's why I put the potentially, because untreated,
yes,
you could cause damage to organs and
I always
eventually lead to heart disease. And
remember the story that you told me about sitting at a restaurant once before you had anything done about your sleep apnea and trying to calculate the tip, and you were just like staring at a receipt, could not figure out what 20% of that bill would be.
Oh, yeah.
Because your brain just was not functioning because of the lack of oxygen.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But before I was diagnosed with it, I was just almost, narcolepsy? Is that where you just fall asleep?
Mm-hmm.
I just could not, because I never hit REM sleep, ever, and didn't know it. So I was just always tired and kind of this fog mentally, to where I was impossible to concentrate on anything and in basic functions. And it just sounds better, and you can elicit more sympathy if you describe it as potentially life-threatening sleep disorder.
No, I completely understand. Yeah. I for a long time have endorsed Fountains Family Dentistry because of that. I never told your story, but I had, I don't even remember if it was you that prompted me to get checked or knowing Ty, Dr. Ty Parker, that prompted me to get checked. I can't remember which one was first, but I might have already gotten checked by the time you were telling me that, but I've slept with one of those mouth guards forever.
Yeah.
And I cannot even take a nap without it because I notice now when, like, it's like my mind is trained to hear myself snore, which is really weird because you're supposed to be asleep.
Yeah.
But if I hear it just enough, it'll wake me up to remind me you're not getting good sleep, and then I'll put the mouth guard in.
Yeah. See, that, unfortunately for me, the mouth guard wouldn't work because I have,
it's so bad
because of my morbid obesity.
Mm-hmm.
It's severe enough that I have to have the mask
and
the machine pumping air into me constantly, which took some getting used to, but certainly worth it.
Can you tell the difference? Is there a difference between a CPAP and an APAP?
That's a good question. I've always had a CPAP.
Okay, because sure somebody told me that they use an APAP, which is like a newer version of a CPAP. I don't really know what the difference was, which is why I was asking the question. So I guess
I don't know. I should look into it because if it's less intrusive than the CPAP, which is just this big bulky thing, I'm used to it now. But
yeah, but that's the thing. I love having that thing because it's so easy to travel with. I mean, you just throw it in your suitcase like anything else. And having just come from Japan, I was just thinking about you because I just did a whole segment about, you know, why I think Japan is the way it is. So I don't want to retread that, but just coming back here and trying to get into a sleep schedule has been a wreck.
Really?
So going there, I knew it was going to be a mess going because it's almost the exact opposite time as here. So when you're going to sleep, you should be waking up and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I knew it was going to mess with me. But arriving there, the jet lag's pretty bad already. And then we were so busy that it was just wear me out. And so I'd go to sleep at a pretty normal time, like within a couple days, you know, those little triggers would happen. Mm-hmm. Like right before the Annie Fry show weekdays at about 11 to 11:15, I get real hungry because I know I have to eat lunch right now. Otherwise, I will not be able to eat because starting at noon, the show's on.
Yeah.
And so at 11:15, which would be somewhere in the middle of the night in Japan, I would just get real hungry. So it was, those things are kind of messing with you. So I thought, well, I got used to it within a couple of days of being there. Coming back now, though, it's been over a week since I've been back, and I'm not getting tired at night still. So I have to wake up almost every morning early, whether it be because of work or because I got to get the kids ready. So I'm not getting to sleep in, but I can't go to sleep. So I just can't figure it out. Like, I've never done this before with such a time difference.
Yeah, I've never traveled that far. The most I've been is like 7 hours difference.
Me too. It was Iceland, I think.
Yeah.
And that's messy, but it's not a complete shift.
Yeah. It's weird that it's taking so long getting once you're back. I would think that would be a quicker transition back to normal.
I would too, because you're getting back into a very normal schedule and your body would kind of like click back in. And it's, you know, I was only gone for a week. So you'd think your body would like refigure out your old schedule quicker than a new schedule. But yeah, anyway,
your body may not be that bright.
No, my body is a temple of the Lord, man. You know that. I mean, I treat this thing like, like it's a golden idol. I can't do that.
The wrong way.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I kind of steered in the wrong direction there. There's nowhere to go from this.
Correct.
So we're just going to stop.
All right.
And we're going to come back. And I got a big topic that I do want to talk about you with. I just wanted to catch up a little bit, but it's local and it's national. It has to do with opening day.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a tease. We'll be right back. Okay, instead of just wasting your time, Roy's here. I have a real topic to talk about with you that's not just sleep apnea.
Okay.
On Thursday, Roy, I was driving into work at my normal time, which is somewhere around between 8:30 and 9:30, depending on the day, that I show up here to start prepping for not only the Annie Fry show, but all the other random things that I do here.
Yep.
So, pretty normal day, driving in. I'm driving through downtown St. Louis on Tucker. I'm going past the courthouse, all the stuff down here that's near our building. I look over and I see a sight that I was surprised to see in downtown St. Louis. And it's not what you'd expect.
Okay.
It was a... And this is going to sound weird coming from a 42-year-old guy. But it was a 20-something-year-old girl, you know, attractive girl, walking around in downtown St. Louis.
Hmm.
And it struck me when I looked over at her because I realized I never see her downtown. Hmm. I never, ever see young women, actually young people, but more so young women, anywhere near downtown St. Louis. And I realized Thursday morning, oh, it's because it's opening day. It's because I, even on that drive, saw more police officers than I almost ever do.
Hmm.
We're close enough to the, we're not like right next to it, but we're close enough to the ballpark that I think we had the patrol going around here. So I saw a lot more police officers. And the city, Roy, even being as far away as we are, which is about 6 or 7 blocks,
mm-hmm.
It's a nice location because it's about halfway between Scottrade Center or whatever it's called, Enterprise Center, where the Blues play, where the city plays, City mm-hmm. SC, and the Cardinals play. It's kind of right between all of it,
yeah.
But it's not really close to any of it. So yeah. But we get to see like a nice sampling of the city here. I haven't seen the city buzzing in that way for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it made me a little bit depressed, but also a little bit excited for that day. And it made me, Roy, realize that this is actually what a city should be like. But it's not anymore. Do you remember a day when St. Louis was like that, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of my life, it was that way. You know, it's, I mean, there's always been, how do we say delicately, questionable politics within the city, because there's that weird differentiation between city and county.
Yeah, yeah, here.
But, yeah, I mean, the sporting events were big when we had the Rams. Would have been another one that would have been within a couple of blocks
from
here.
Right. That's
and there was
true.
A lot of excitement over the sports teams, but even Union Station used to be a big
mm-hmm.
Place where people would go. It used to be bustling. And there've been multiple times in my life where there's kind of been this push to draw more residents into the city through different development projects and things, and they usually don't work out because of the politics of it. But downtown has historic in the riverfront with the arch. I mean, it's
even Laclede's Landing. It was always like a little bit more questionable than certain areas, but it was cool.
Well, it wasn't a safety thing. It was morally questionable, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in my early 20s, we would go down to the Landing, and there were clubs. There was always music, live music, and
it's just dead.
Yeah,
it's so sad. I think that's what seeing opening day was, and I mean, opening day is like the biggest day in St. Louis for the Cardinals and for the city. And so it was nice to see like, oh, this is what it should be normal, but it's not. And I remember hearing Fred Bottomer on Mark Reardon's show probably a couple months ago now talking. And I don't think that this conversation happened deliberately. They were just kind of talking. Mm-hmm. And he said, I remember going to lunch at Union Station many times, and I guess wherever they were at KMOX used to be closer to Union. I don't know.
There was a building right on the edge of the parking lot.
So they used to walk around, you know, that area of downtown a lot more. And he was talking about the 80s and 90s, and he said it was tough to get a table a lot of times at lunch.
Yeah.
Because the places were just so busy. And now, not only can you not get a table, it's because the restaurant isn't there anymore. Like there's no business.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so sad because we're talking about a problem that is almost purely political. Mm-hmm. You could say it's also social if you want to, that there's like some social problems that exist in the city of, and I would trace it back, it seems like a big jump, but I would trace it back to fatherlessness, where you just have generation after generation that just sort of like the standard of living just keeps going down because of that social problem.
Yeah.
But politically, you could solve a lot of these. You can't solve everything, but you could solve a lot of these problems by just adding police officers, for instance. Because we had this conversation on the Annie Fry Show, to refer to another, about how business owners are just not wanting to invest in cities, and St. Louis being chief among them right now. And I got to thinking about it. You're a business owner. You do real estate. You do restaurants. I mean, you're doing the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I do real estate, so I don't do commercial stuff like you do, and I don't do, you know, like public available, you know, nightlife and stuff, but I do invest in real estate, and I am looking at, you know, how do I move into sort of bigger real estate where there's a lot of that kind of thing in St. Louis, and there's not as much on our side of the river in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and there is a little bit, but man, you cross the river, and you talk about multi-unit duplexes and blah, blah, blah. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And so if you want to start moving up, that's how you do it. And I'm looking, but I'm like, I just don't. I'm an investor. I'm not a big investor, but I am an investor. And I'm looking at St. Louis going, man, there was news this week that Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is going to add federal police or whatever that looks like, because I don't think there's an actual federal police force by law.
Right.
But there's some sort of federal presence that's going to be more in St. Louis now and Jackson, Mississippi, and I think one other crime-ridden town like in Connecticut or something. And that's been making the news. But even that, to me, as an investor, I'm like, that's not going to change the dynamic of the city.
No.
And Trump offered to do that, and they turned it down, but now it's Biden, so it's fine.
Right.
So it's the same freaking stupid crap. But I look at this and go, I'm not going to invest in this city until I know that it's safe, because people are not going to want to live in my building that I would buy if they don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And I am not alone. And I just don't know how we can talk it to death and nothing seems to be getting done. And it's just because of Democrats. I hate to just like boil it down to that. But if Republican or conservative philosophy ran this city, it would be run completely differently.
Well, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of an easy thing to just say, oh, Democrats.
That's the Democrats, yeah.
But, I mean, broadly, you look at every major city that's run by Democrats, you have similar problems. And it you can talk about, it's not because... Well, I mean, it's an oversimplification to say, oh, Democrats, but it is. It's the policies that they espouse and that they support and push. The biggest ones now that haven't been part of the problem in the past is the decriminalization of crime, basically, and then the whole defund the police thing that we're still trying to recover from.
Yeah.
But we go to the soccer games in town, and that where that stadium is located is kind of real close to an edge that...
Oh, yeah, we've walked through that edge.
A lot of people won't go a block that way.
Me and my son walked through that edge, and I knew right where... I knew right when we were in it, and I knew right when we left it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, it's okay now.
Yeah, but they even after those games and we're pouring out of the stadium, I could probably count on three fingers the number of policemen I see.
Yeah.
Out there. And this is, you know, 30,000 people walking out at 10 o'clock at night into the city, and you've got maybe three of the four intersections surrounding the park, you've got a police officer semi-directing traffic.
And that's for big events that draw in people from all over the region.
Yeah.
Imagine just on a daily basis. I mean, we're here now. I work here. So I do once in a while, and not only when the weather's really nice, do I take a walk through the city. And it's usually because, A, it's nice and I want to be outside. And B, there are more people out when it's nice, and so you just feel a little safer. I mean, I don't feel completely unsafe as a, you know, 42-year-old white male. Although, thank you. Yeah. I didn't even know why I said white. I just, you know, just checking off the demographic boxes. Yeah. But more that I'm a male, walking through a city, just because I feel like I can kind of take care of myself. But that's why I led this whole segment talking about seeing a young girl. You literally never see younger women, really women at all. I mean, once in a while, if I'm walking through and it's nice, I might walk past a woman, but it's pretty rare. It's mostly guys. I mean, it really is. I never really thought about it until I just saw that on opening day. I want to take a break here and then come back and talk a little bit about all of these things that we're seeing locally are playing out nationally too. And I've got some interesting numbers on not the last census, but projections. We're now almost halfway through this decade.
Wow.
Projections for the next census, because the migration that we saw beginning in 2019 and 2020, that barely got counted in this census. And by the way,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Okay, instead of just wasting your time, Roy's here. I have a real topic to talk about with you that's not just sleep apnea.
Okay.
On Thursday, Roy, I was driving in to work at my normal time, which is somewhere around between 8:30 and 9:30, depending on the day, that I show up here. to start prepping for not only the Annie Fry Show, but all the other random things that I do here.
Yep.
So, pretty normal day, driving in. I'm driving through downtown St. Louis on Tucker. I'm going past the courthouse, all the stuff down here that's near our building. I look over and I see a sight that I was surprised to see in downtown St. Louis. And it's not what you'd expect.
Okay.
It was a... And this is going to sound weird coming from a 42-year-old guy. But it was a 20-something-year-old girl, who, you know, attractive girl, walking around in downtown St. Louis.
Hmm.
And it struck me when I looked over at her because I realized I never see her downtown. Hmm. I never, ever see young women, actually young people, but more so young women, anywhere near downtown St. Louis. And I realized Thursday morning, oh, it's because it's opening day. It's because I, even on that drive, saw more police officers than I almost ever do.
Hmm.
We're close enough to the, we're not like right next to it, but we're close enough to the ballpark that I think we had the patrol going around here. So I saw a lot more police officers. And the city, Roy, even being as far away as we are, which is about 6 or 7 blocks,
mm-hmm.
it's a nice location because it's about halfway between Scottrade Center or whatever it's called, Enterprise Center, where the Blues play, where the city plays, City mm-hmm. SC, and the Cardinals play. It's kind of right between all of it,
yeah.
But it's not really close to any of it. So yeah. But we get to see like a nice sampling of the city here. I haven't seen the city buzzing in that way for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it made me a little bit depressed, but also a little bit excited for that day. And it made me, Roy, realize that this is actually what a city should be like. But it's not anymore. Do you remember a day when St. Louis was like that, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of my life, it was that way. You know, it's, I mean, there's always been, how do we say delicately, questionable politics within the city, because there's that weird differentiation between city and county.
Yeah, yeah, here.
But, yeah, I mean, the sporting events were big when we had the Rams. Would have been another one that would have been within a couple of blocks from here.
Yeah, right. That's
and there was
true.
A lot of excitement over the sports teams, but even Union Station used to be a big
mm-hmm.
Place where people would go. It used to be bustling, and there've been multiple times in my life where there's kind of been this push to draw more residents into the city through different development projects and things, and they usually don't work out because of the politics of it. But downtown has historic in the riverfront with the arch. I mean, it's
even Laclede's Landing. It was always like a little bit more questionable than certain areas, but it was cool.
Well, but it wasn't a safety thing. It was morally questionable, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in my early 20s, we would go down to the Landing, and there were clubs. There was always music, live music, and
it's just dead.
Yeah,
it's so sad. I think that's what seeing opening day was, and I mean, opening day is like the biggest day in St. Louis for the Cardinals and for the city. And so it was nice to see like, oh, this is what it should be normal, but it's not. And I remember hearing Fred Bottomer on Mark Reardon's show probably a couple months ago now talking. And I don't think that this conversation happened deliberately. They were just kind of talking. Mm-hmm. And he said, I remember going to lunch at Union Station many times, and they, I guess wherever they were at KMOX used to be closer to Union. I don't know.
There was a building right on the edge of the parking lot.
So they used to walk around, you know, that area of downtown a lot more. And he was talking about the 80s and 90s, and he said it was it was tough to get a table a lot of times at lunch.
Yeah.
Because the places were just so busy. And now, not only can you not get a table, it's because the restaurant isn't there anymore. Like, there's no business.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so sad because we're talking about a problem that is almost purely political. Mm-hmm. You could say it's also social, if you want to, that there's, like, some social problems that exist in the city of, and I would trace it back, it seems like a big jump, but I would trace it back to fatherlessness, where you just have generation after generation that just sort of, like, the standard of living just keeps going down because of that social problem.
Yeah.
But politically, you could solve a lot of these. You could solve everything, but you could solve a lot of these problems by just adding police officers, for instance. Because we had this conversation on the Annie Fry Show, to refer to another, about how business owners are just not wanting to invest in cities, and St. Louis being chief among them right now. And I got to thinking about it. You're a business owner. You do real estate. You do restaurants. I mean, you're doing the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I do real estate, so I don't do commercial stuff like you do, and I don't do, you know, like public available, you know,
right,
nightlife and stuff. But I do invest in real estate, and I am looking at, you know, how do I move into sort of bigger real estate where there's a lot of that kind of thing in St. Louis, and there's not as much on our side of the river in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little bit, but man, you cross the river and you talk about multi-unit duplexes and blah, blah, blah. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And so if you want to start moving up, that's how you do it. And I'm looking, but I'm like, I just don't, I'm an investor. I'm not a big investor, but I am an investor. And I'm looking at St. Louis going, man, there was news this week that Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is going to add federal police, or whatever that looks like, because I don't think there's an actual federal police force by law.
Right.
But there's some sort of federal presence that's going to be more in St. Louis now and Jackson, Mississippi, and I think one other crime-ridden town like in Connecticut or something. And that's been making the news. But even that, to me, as an investor, I'm like, that's not going to change the dynamic of the city.
No.
And Trump offered to do that, and they turned it down, but now it's Biden, so it's fine.
Right.
So it's the same freaking stupid crap. But I look at this and go, I'm not going to invest in the city until I know that it's safe, because people are not going to want to live in my building that I would buy
right.
if they don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And I am not alone. And I just don't know how we can talk it to death and nothing seems to be getting done. And it's just because of Democrats. I hate to just like boil it down mm-hmm. to that. But if Republican or conservative philosophy ran this city, it would be run completely differently.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of an easy thing to just say, oh, Democrats.
That's the Democrats, yeah.
But, I mean, broadly, you look at every major city that's run by Democrats, you have similar problems. And it... You can talk, it's not because, well, I mean, it's an oversimplification to say, oh, Democrats, but it's the policies that they espouse and that they support and push. The biggest ones now that haven't been part of the problem in the past is the decriminalization of crime. Basically, and then the whole defund the police thing that we're still trying to recover from.
Yeah.
But we go to the soccer games in town, and that where that stadium is located is kind of real close to an edge that...
Oh, yeah, we've walked through that
a
edge.
A lot of people won't go a block that way.
Me and my son walked through that edge, and I knew right when we were in it, and I knew right when we left it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, it's okay now.
Yeah. But they, even after those games and we're pouring out of the stadium, I could probably count on three fingers the number of policemen I see.
Yeah.
Out there. And this is, you know, 30,000 people walking out at 10 o'clock at night into the city, and you've got maybe three of the four intersections surrounding the park, you've got a police officer semi-directing traffic.
And that's for big events that draw in people from all over the region.
Yeah.
Imagine just on a daily basis. I mean, we're here now. We I work here. So I do once in a while, not only when the weather's really nice, do I take a walk through the city. And it's usually because, A, it's nice and I want to be outside. And B, there are more people out when it's nice. And so you just feel a little safer. I mean, I don't feel completely unsafe as a, you know, 42-year-old white male. Although, thank you. Yeah. I didn't even know why I said white. I just, you know, just checking off the demographic boxes. Yeah. But more that I'm a male. Walking through a city just because I feel like I can kind of take care of myself. But that's why I led this whole segment talking about seeing a young girl. You literally never see younger women, really women at all. I mean, once in a while, if I'm walking through and it's nice, I might walk past a woman, but it's pretty rare. It's mostly guys. I mean, it really is. I never really thought about it until I just saw that on opening day. I want to take a break here and then come back and talk a little bit about all of these things that we're seeing locally are playing out nationally, too. Mm-hmm. And I've got some interesting numbers on not the last census, but projections. We're now almost halfway through this decade.
Wow.
Projections for the next census. Because the migration that we saw beginning in 2019 and 2020... That barely got counted in this census. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this census was a mess and it was, I think, deliberately jacked with. I'll pause on that. But the one that's coming up is going to show all of the migration. And I think you're going to be interested to see just how many seats in the House of Representatives, Electoral College, red states stand to gain should these trends continue for the next 5 years as they have for the first four. So stick around, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm going to tell you about the census estimates in a minute, and I got to admit that when I just said that, it came out of my mouth and I sounded bored. It's not boring, I promise. But real quick, there is a story that I brought up here from CNN that I wanted to mention. It says 99-cent only stores is winding down its business operations. Have you ever heard of this store? I have not. I guess this is more of a West Coast thing because they're showing one in Oakland. But it says 99 cents only is a discount chain. Yeah, I guess in California, Texas, Arizona, and Nevada. And it is winding down all of its business, according to a press release. While I understand that inflation is the killer of these things, I've always wondered how these stores were going to maintain that business operation. Like, there's multiple of them around us called Five Below, where everything in the store is supposed to be $5 or under. I think they've deviated from that, so that's probably how a lot of them get away from it. Because Dollar Tree, for instance, everything used to be a dollar, and now it's a $1.25 tree. But I've always wondered why you would name a business 99 cents only or whatever it is, because eventually, whether it be because of massive inflation or just normal inflation, you're going to run into this problem where you got to go, it's actually not 99 cents only. Related, Family Dollar and Dollar Tree are both closing 1,000 stores too. So it is just hitting hard. And they always say, inflation does not hit the top percentage of people, the rich as much, or even the moderately wealthy as much. It hits the middle class and it hits the poor the most because you just devalued the currency. Richer people usually have more assets and have more ability to absorb those things, whereas poorer people don't. So you want to help poor people? Don't do what the government does, even though they always act like they want to help poor people. And then they just pass a government program that says, we'll just give you more money. More money that doesn't mean as much.
Wow. Wiggins America.
All right. Here's what I really wanted to talk about. Yeah. The census. It's so fun. But it's this kind of stuff that tells us about the future of Congress and what future presidents will have to deal with. Because, you know, politicians all have to cater to the votes. So, every now and then a politician like Trump will come along who's just doing something completely different. But for the most part, you have politicians that seek out where is the middle and I'll just go a little bit right of that. Or where's the middle and I'll go a little bit left of that. And that sucks, but that's true. And this will impact that. So the middle kind of shifts when you have moves in population, like this. So in December, the Census Bureau releases population estimates for all 50 states. These give us an opportunity to form an educated guess about where reapportionment is headed. And I'm pulling this all from Real Clear Politics. They do some great investigative journalism here. Sometimes these are really accurate. In 2020, they were not very good, but that's partially because we were in the midst of a pandemic and people weren't answering their phones or their doors. And so the census was bad. And man, there's at some point, once I can really, really dig, I would like to, and I think I've talked about it in the past, but I haven't in a while, how bad the 2020 census was. And it was manipulated by mostly Democrats, because we're talking about the deep state here, not necessarily elected Democrats. We're talking about the deep state, the people who run these things. They deliberately, it looks like deliberately, misapportioned. So they proportionally deproportioned certain states, as in they added population to ones accidentally and then pulled from others. And guess who it benefited? Yeah, Democrats, almost exclusively. They threw in like one state, like Utah, that they're like, oh, yeah, we overcounted there too. But for the most part, you're talking about a handful of states that actually gained seats and representatives that they shouldn't have. That aside, that's not the purpose of this segment. The estimates that we're looking at right now, and believe it or not, we're almost halfway through the decade already. So going into, believe it or not, 2030 is what we're saying here. 2030 will be the next census. If these trends that we're seeing for the first 4.5 years continue through 2030, 18 states would gain or lose districts. So you're like, okay, well, what does that mean politically? Well, here you go. California would lose 5 seats in the House. New York would lose 3. Illinois would lose 2. Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin would all lose 1. Who's going to gain? Texas and Florida would each gain 4 seats, while Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah each gain 1. That's a lot of seats. Delaware is the only state on that list that is a blue state that would gain a district. That's it. The rest, Texas and Florida, there's 8. Arizona, Georgia, there's 10, if you're all Republican. Right, Arizona, Georgia are questionable. Idaho, North Carolina, there's 12. South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, there's 15 swing states. I'm sorry, 15 reapportioned House seats and Electoral College gains for Republicans. 15. I mean, at that point, Republicans are the favorites. Now, you may say, well, but it won't actually end up that way. That's possible. There's different models, but that's just one of them that would net Republicans 15 Electoral College. That's like almost a full, that's more than Wisconsin. I mean, that is a huge shift. As long as it's done honestly, that's what we need. Stop right here. We got another hour of Wiggins America ahead.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm going to tell you about the census estimates in a minute. And I got to admit that when I just said that, it came out of my mouth and I sounded bored. It's not boring. I promise. But real quick, there is a story that I brought up here from CNN that I wanted to mention. It says 99 cents only stores is winding down its business operations. Have you ever heard of this store? I have not. I guess this is more of a West Coast thing because they're showing one in Oakland. But it says 99 cents only is a discount chain. Yeah, I guess in California, Texas, Arizona, and Nevada. And it is winding down all of its business, according to a press release. While I understand that inflation is the killer of these things, I've always wondered how these stores were going to maintain that business operation. Like, there's multiple of them around us called Five Below, where everything in the store is supposed to be $5 or under. I think they've deviated from that, so that's probably how a lot of them get away from it. Because Dollar Tree, for instance, everything used to be a dollar, and now it's a $1.25 tree. But I've always wondered why you would name a business 99 cents only or whatever it is, because eventually whether it be because of massive inflation or just normal inflation, you're going to run into this problem where you got to go, it's actually not 99 cents only. Related, Family Dollar and Dollar Tree are both closing 1,000 stores too. So it is just hitting hard. And they always say inflation does not hit the top percentage of people, the rich as much, or even the moderately wealthy as much. It hits the middle class and it hits the poor the most because you just devalued the currency. Richer people usually have more assets and have more ability to absorb those things, whereas poorer people don't. So you want to help poor people? Don't do what the government does, even though they always act like they want to help poor people. And then they just pass a government program that says, we'll just give you more money. More money that doesn't mean as much.
Wow, Wiggins America.
All right, here's what I really wanted to talk about. Yeah, the census. It's so fun. But it's this kind of stuff that tells us about the future of Congress and what future presidents will have to deal with. Because, you know, politicians all have to cater to the votes. So, every now and then a politician like Trump will come along who's just doing something completely different. But for the most part, you have politicians that seek out where is the middle and I'll just go a little bit right of that. Or where's the middle and I'll go a little bit left of that. And that sucks, but that's true. And this will impact that. So the middle kind of shifts when you have moves in population like this. So in December, the Census Bureau releases population estimates for all 50 states. These give us an opportunity to form an educated guess about where reapportionment is headed. And I'm pulling this all from Real Clear Politics. They do some great investigative journalism here. Sometimes these are really accurate. In 2020, they were not very good, but that's partially because we were in the midst of a pandemic and people weren't answering their phones or their doors. And so the census was bad. And man, there's at some point, once I can really, really dig, I would like to, and I think I've talked about it in the past, but I haven't in a while, how bad the 2020 census was. And it was manipulated by mostly Democrats, because we're talking about the deep state here, not necessarily elected Democrats. We're talking about the deep state, the people who run these things. They deliberately, it looks like deliberately, misapportioned. So they proportionally deproportioned certain states, as in they added population to ones accidentally and then pulled from others. And guess who it benefited? Yeah, Democrats, almost exclusively. They threw in like one state, like Utah, that they're like, oh yeah, we overcounted there too. But for the most part, you're talking about a handful of states that actually gained seats and representatives that they shouldn't have. That aside, that's not the purpose of this segment. The estimates that we're looking at right now, and believe it or not, we're almost halfway through the decade already. So going into, believe it or not, 2030 is what we're saying here. 2030 will be the next census. If these trends that we're seeing for the first 4.5 years continue through 2030, 18 states would gain or lose districts. So you're like, okay, well, what does that mean politically? Well, here you go. California would lose 5 seats in the House. New York would lose 3. Illinois would lose 2. Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin would all lose 1. Who's going to gain? Texas and Florida would each gain 4 seats, while Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah each gain 1. That's a lot of seats. Delaware is the only state on that list that is a blue state that would gain a district. That's it. The rest, Texas and Florida, there's 8. Arizona, Georgia, there's 10, if you're all Republican. Right, Arizona, Georgia are questionable. Idaho, North Carolina, there's 12. South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, there's 15 swing states. I'm sorry, 15 reapportioned House seats and Electoral College gains for Republicans. 15. I mean, at that point, Republicans are the favorites. Now, you may say, well, but it won't actually end up that way. That's possible. There's different models, but that's just one of them that would net Republicans 15 electoral college. That's like almost a full, that's more than Wisconsin. I mean, that is a huge shift. As long as it's done honestly, that's what we need. Stop right here. We got another hour, Wiggins America ahead.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.